Well, you know, a pastor's role is actually a very interesting role. And so help me, just bear with me for a moment, but I was thinking about this during the week as we come to this topic this morning, as we continue our series about wisdom. One of the things that, is that okay? One of the things that you do as a minister is you're involved in someone in people's lives from the very beginning, like what we were this morning, to the very end. So I don't know if you've noticed this picture, but basically this picture starts off really bright, so it's early in the morning over here, and then it finishes up very dark, 1,440 minutes in a day. That's a life cycle of a day. As a minister, I'm actually involved in people's lives from go to woe. From the moment they're born, and you have them on stage, and there's a dedication, and it's a beautiful moment. And we celebrate the life of a new child. And then, you know, you might see them and you might make sure or try to make sure there's a Sunday school for them or a hub club or a youth group and you want to see them grow up. And then one day, if there is a privilege or a blessing, you might baptize them because they might choose to say yes to Jesus. And then as they get a bit older, you might actually be involved in maybe their wedding and you might, the sparkle in their eye and they find someone that they love and you might actually be involved in their wedding. Then there might come serious times in their lives where they're really sick and they're getting old. And you might sit at the hospital bed and you might pray with them and you might talk to them about life and you might pray for healing. And healing might come or healing might not come. And early on in my ministry at this church in particular, there was a lot of senior people and it felt like at one point I was doing a funeral. Like every second week there was a funeral for someone. And you do a lot of funerals and you go to a lot of funerals and you hear a lot of people talking about the person's life and they're unpacking their life and you sometimes wonder why we talk so well of people after they're gone and haven't said it to them before. And then they're gone. And what's happened to them? Where have they gone? See, you know, I've been involved in people's lives from the very beginning, from go to goodbye. And it forces you sometimes just to think and to reflect upon life. I wonder if you've ever done that. I wonder if you've ever stopped and thought about the totality of life and, you know, the cycles of life and the seasons of life and the things that have happened to you so far in your life. We took our friends from Tassie out to the Swan Valley yesterday and we saw a bunch of 20-year-olds getting off this bus and we're laughing at each other what it was like to be 20 and all the stuff that is going on in their lives. If you're around that sort of age, you know, you don't necessarily think about what's going to happen to you in 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You don't think about it. You feel like you're bulletproof. But the reality of, you know, life finishing, as a minister, I've been confronted with that. I remember one time, it was a long time ago, there was a guy called Jack and he was part of our church. He used to welcome people at the door and his wife rang me up and said, look, he's not well. It was about 2 weeks from her ringing me till I got an opportunity to go see him in hospital. And I go see him in hospital and I think, that's not Jack. That wasn't him. It didn't feel like him. It wasn't his smile. And then you do his funeral a couple of weeks later. And you're faced with the reality that everyone's life, your life, all things considered, your life is going to come to an end. There's going to be a cycle for you. There's going to be a season. We're all going to go through seasons and different aspects of life. We're looking this morning at King Solomon and we're looking at the book of Ecclesiastes. And some people talk about this book. You know, if you're not necessarily a believer, if you've come here this morning and you're just visiting, and I know there's a number of us that are in that situation, you may be thinking, well, I don't actually believe in the Bible. And I don't even know if I believe in God. You don't have to raise your hand. But I wonder if that's you this morning. I don't even believe in God. And I don't even know if I believe in the Bible. King Solomon, when he wrote this book, the book of Ecclesiastes, a lot, not everything that he says, but a lot of what he says in the book is from the perspective of someone that doesn't actually, God isn't actually entering into their life. God is perhaps some construct. We're going to get to the end. He's going to talk about God. We're going to talk about God a bit in the middle. But for a lot of the book, he's actually facing life. And this is the point, right? For those of you who do believe in Jesus, and you would say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, this message that I'm giving you this morning is actually going to be really useful for you. Because there are some questions that he asks in the book that point you to there being a greater aspect of life than just living that you don't even need to refer to the Bible to get, to understand. You just need to observe life. Did you hear what I said? So there is things that you can encourage someone with to help them to think about God and say, well, is God real or is God not real? Does God have a claim in my life? Does God not have a claim in my life? There's some stuff that he's going to give us in this book which is going to point us toward God without even needing to open the Bible. Just by observing life, there is stuff that's going to point us to a greater being. So if you're a believer this morning, I think this is going to be helpful for you. I think it's also going to be helpful for someone that maybe hasn't yet decided what they're going to do with God. Because there's stuff you can look at and observe and think about which you don't even need the Bible to point you towards God. What does King Solomon say? The first piece of scripture I've got is here, and it's from the first chapter, chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. These are the words of the teacher, King David's son, who ruled in Jerusalem. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher, completely meaningless. What do people get? Listen to him asking questions. What do people get for all their hard work under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. The sun rises and the sun sets and it hurries away again. The wind blows south and turns north. Around and around it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run, see the cycles, right? Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the rivers and flows out again to the sea. Everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. Let's just stay on that scripture for a few minutes. Everything is boring. Do we have any parents of teenagers in the house this morning? Yes, we do. Dad, everything is boring. There is nothing to do. There is nothing to eat. This is the most boring house in the whole world. Is that just me? Just me. All right, great, cool. You know, we laugh about teenagers and the fact that they seem to be always bored. But you know what? We're, and you are like that as well. In fact, we're all like that at some point, where we're saying, there's just no point. This is just so boring. Nothing ever happens. The water flows down from the mountain into the sea, and then precipitation occurs, and it flows back up again, or whatever it's called. Don't judge me. And then it flows back down again, and then it flows back up again. And the cycle of life just keeps going on and keeps going on. It's like, this is just absolutely monotonous life. The sun comes up a day and then flippin' heck, blow me down, it comes up again the next day. What's going on? Nothing ever happens. Nothing ever changes. No one's ever saved. Nothing exciting ever happens in my life. Have you ever said that to yourself? You know what? If you are you've never opened up a Bible, you've never opened one up, you've never been into a church before, you can think this, and you can say, what is the point? What is even the point of life? Seriously, nothing ever changes. It just keeps going on. The other week, we were in Tasmania, Melinda and myself, and my wife Melinda said to me, can you stop the car? Stop the car. I want to take a photo. Sure, we can stop the car. Stop the car. And she says, I want to take a photo of a wombat. Pastor Jess was there. Last time we stopped the car and took a photo of a wombat, it was about 2 or 3 years ago. And it was this beautiful, you know, wombats, they're like the biggest, strongest, gnarliest creatures. You hit a wombat, your car's gone, man. That thing's written off. Those things are hard. They're like a rock, a moving rock. Well, this moving rock, last time we'd taken a photo, it was there. It was happy as Larry. The sun was shining. It was nibbling. It was the cutest thing you've ever seen. This time, Melinda says, Mark, I want to stop, take a photo of the wombat. all four legs are up in the sky. That thing's dead. Now, it was cold, so it wasn't all maggoty, but it was there. It looked, I have no idea why she took the photo. Then she MMSs the photo. She sends it to our children. It's like, what the heck? I won't tell you which child. It was Ruby. She sends back this text quick as a whip. She's a humorous daughter. In parentheses, circle of life. Circle of life. You have a life cycle. Everyone has a life cycle. He who dies with the most toy win, most toys wins. Who believes that? Does anyone really believe that? You know, you build up all this stuff, you grow up this legacy, you build up this portfolio, you do whatever, and then your relatives squabble over it once you're gone. What's the point? Seriously, if someone's life and their whole life is focused on that, what's the point? What is the point? Well, there is actually a bit of a point, and you're going to be freaked out when I tell you, you're not going to expect this from Pastor Mark this morning, so hold on to your hats. King Solomon goes on in this next piece of scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 21 to 26. Some people work wisely with knowledge and skill. Then must leave the fruit of their efforts to someone who hasn't worked for it. This too is meaningless. The word there, meaningless, is actually you can use the word smoke there or mist. It's like you build up all this equity and then in a moment, it's just all gone like smoke. It's just blown away. So what do people get in their lives for all their hard work and anxiety? Who here has anxiety? Who here has struggled this last few weeks with their work? What have you gotten for that? Their days of labor are filled with pain and grief. He's a happy fellow, isn't he? Their days are filled with pain and grief, and at night their minds cannot rest. It is all meaningless. Now, this is his antidote. This is his remedy. And you're going to think, oh, Mark's against all this. No, actually, I'm not. Actually, there's actually a bit of truth here. A lot of truth. So I decided there is nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work. Then I realized that these pleasures are from the hand of God. For who can eat and enjoy anything apart from him? God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to those who please him. So here's the thing about sex, right? Oh, there was no reaction. Come on, church. Here's the thing about sex, right? Are we okay? We're okay? Right. So I don't think we are. I think there's going to be emails. A man and a woman have sex to have babies, right? We've celebrated that this morning, haven't we? But here's the thing about keeping the race going, keeping the human race going. Why isn't that just work? Why? This is so... Listen. This is so important, keeping the human race going, that God has made it the best thing ever. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Seriously. People think, oh, God doesn't like sex. It's a terrible thing. Church should never talk about it. Well, welcome to Inglewood Church. Here's the thing about sex. It's absolutely necessary. But God has made something incredibly necessary, a whole heap of fun as well, particularly within the confines of a loving relationship where a man and a woman grow to know each other and grow to love each other more and more as they live within the confines of marriage. It's actually a beautiful thing. But don't miss the point. God has made it just... You don't even have to believe in God. You have to open a Bible, no matter nothing. You just have to say, why the heck... is this so? It actually points to a creator. It actually points you to the fact of what God is actually like. Let me give you another example. Food. This is an orange. I went to Coles the other... This is an orange. Does anyone know? It was amazing, isn't it? This is an orange. I went to Coles the other day and I bought two of these suckers. They came from California. They cost me $3.50 for two oranges. I was immensely disappointed. I come home and my neighbour, who's Italian, has delivered onto our veranda a bucket. God, blimey. Can I get a refund for these oranges? He's brought me a bucket of the best oranges in the world. You know, I was eating one of these suckers at my desk the other day and there was just juice. You know cooking, right? You make something that's... My wife is an extraordinary cook, as some of you have experienced. You put together this, you put together that. God has made all these amazing flavors. Cooking and making food is the best. But here's this orange, pre-packaged in water-resistant material, all ready to go. It's the best thing in the world. Where's Ben? There he is. So there's Ben Humphreys. And you ready? Are you ready? And I say to Ben, I had two oranges. I said, Ben, would you like an orange? He said, I can't take your orange. I said, I just had one. Have another one. Have another orange, Ben. Here's the thing about food. It's such a chore. You have to, if you don't eat just about every day, you die. Am I right? What a pain to have to eat every day. Hands up if it's a pain to eat good food every day. Is there one hand? There's not one hand in the church. Do you see? God has made something which is absolutely wonderful. It's the best to eat food. And yet it's absolutely necessary for your survival. Do you see? I don't need to open the Bible to tell you that. I just need to grab you an orange and say, eat this. It's the most pleasurable, wonderful thing in the world. God is good, and it points to God. But what about the bad stuff in the world? What about the suffering? Let's go to the next passage. Again, I observed all the oppression that takes place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed with no one to confront them. The oppressors have great power. Their victims are helpless. So I conclude, once again with a happy, happy, joy, joy, Solomon, I concluded that the dead are better off than living. But most fortunate of all are those who are not yet born. For they have not seen all the evil that is done under the sun. Here's the thing. This week, and you knew that I reckon every single pastor is referencing this story this week. The Thai boys out of the cave. The 12 boys and their coach. What happened when that news started going around the world of these boys suffering? What did people do? What did people say? What was the overwhelming sense? Get them out. These boys are suffering. Care for them. Rescue them. Here's the thing that you can observe about the human race. When we're at our best, which I think the world was at its best. When we're at our best and we see the suffering, what do? We care, don't we? We don't always care the most. We don't always do whatever we can. But most of us, if we see someone suffering, if we see suffering in the world, there's something inside of you. Whoa, that's a big statement. There is something inside of you which points you to compassion, doesn't it? And injustice actually points people toward the fact there must be something deeper because we care about each other. You don't need a Bible. You don't need to open the Bible to see that. You just need to observe what people do. My cat comes into the room, rubs its head up against my leg to prove ownership, and then it says, "Where's my food?" If I'm suffering, my cat cares nothing. Now, perhaps that's the worst type of creature to pick on, right? Cats are particularly narcissistic. But as human beings, of the rest of creation, we actually care for each other when we're at our best. It points to God. Solomon finishes the book in chapter 12 and he gives us some wisdom. Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honour him in your youth before you grow old and say, life is not pleasant anymore. Remember him before the light of the sun, moon and stars is dim to your old eyes and rain clouds continually darken your sky. Remember him before your legs, the guards of your house, start to tremble, before your shoulders, the strong men stoop. Remember him before your teeth, your few remaining servants. Do we have any hands up this morning? Your few remaining servants stop grinding, and before your eyes, the woman looking through the window see dimly. Yeah. Yeah. There is a much deeper purpose to life. It's finding out what you're here for. It's finding out about your Creator. It's remembering him before it's too late. It's serving him with what you have. It's understanding that in the futility of the seasons of life, in fact, there is actually something greater, and it's God. Maybe you haven't discovered that for yourself. Maybe this morning you would say to me, you know what? You're making me think. You're causing me to think today. Maybe there is something deeper. Maybe there is something more important. But here's the thing. It's not enough revelation without actually finding out about Jesus. Because we can observe this life and we can observe all the stuff that is happening in the world. We can see the cycles and the seasons of life. But without the revelation of Jesus Christ, it actually doesn't mean a whole lot. We're going to celebrate and remember communion in a moment. And communion is the bread and it's the wine. It's the bread representing the body of Jesus. It's the cup which represents his blood shed for us. It wasn't enough for you that God said, here is the world with all its seasons and all its cycles. He actually had to come. Listen, he actually had to come, intersect history, God come to earth in the form of a man, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe would receive eternal life. Eternal life. You see, if this life is all there is, and if that's all you're banking on, then that's all you have. That's all you got. But Jesus came and Jesus said, you know what? There's actually life beyond the grave. There's actually eternal life. There's actually life with God forever. And he came and the story of the cross is that he said, you know what? Your sins can be forgiven. You can know God. You can know me. I wonder if you'd say to me this morning, I need to know Jesus and I need to know him more. I need to know God. I'm sick of the futility of life. I wonder this morning if you just need to rededicate yourself again to Jesus. I wonder if you need to come forward in a moment. The cloths are going to be taken off and we're going to take the bread. I invite you to come forward and take a piece of cracker, take a piece of juice. And in this moment, whether it's for the first time or the second or the third or the fourth time, I just want you to thank God that he hasn't left us, you know, life is not meaningless. Life, your life is not meaningless. Your life actually has a purpose. The purpose is because of what Jesus has done for you. So I invite you in your own time to come forward and to take the bread, to take the juice. And after that, we're going to finish with a song together. But come forward now and when you're ready. Yeah, that's okay. I'm happy to finish at 15:15.
So you can give me a thumbs up as to
whether. Yeah. You know, I'm just getting the feeling just now that I feel God's just saying that there are some people here this morning that are really lacking purpose in their life. And maybe you've just got carried away with the anxiety and the stress of life, and you've forgotten what life is actually really about. I just get the feeling and a sense that there are some people here this morning that want to rediscover why they're here. Maybe discover for the first time or just rediscover. It's just a moment of quietness. Can I just ask everyone to bow their heads? I make you a promise, I'm not going to ask anyone to come forward today, okay? So this is going to be just every head bowed. Just bow your head and close your eyes. You know, if you feel this morning that you just need the Holy Spirit to reveal to you why you're here, maybe it's the first time you've ever prayed this, and maybe it's just for this next season of your life. I'm going to ask you in a moment just to raise your hand, not for me, but just so God can see a physical expression of something that's going on in your hearts. As you raise your hand, you're going to ask God in your heart, Lord, show me why I'm here. Reveal to me the purpose of my life. If that's you this morning, why don't you just raise your hand now? Just raise your hands. God sees all those hands. Just keep your hands raised. Father, I want to pray for those people that have their hands raised right now. Lord, that you will reveal to them exactly, even in the next week. Father, let's put a time on it. That you will reveal to them before next Sunday, Lord, just something that is for them, a purpose for them, a reason for their living. I pray you might bring along an encounter. You might bring a word. You might bring a direction. Lord, your word says that those who seek will find. And I believe in you, God. And I believe you're going to reveal something of your purpose for their lives this week. I pray this right now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to finish shortly, but before we do that, I'm going to invite you to stand. We're just going to sing a couple of verses of this final song. Let's stand together. Let's celebrate what a great day today has been.